The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Mia, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me.
So we met, how long has it been now? Was it a couple months ago now? When was the...
Yeah.
We met at the Healing Humanity meetup in Cedar Park. You'll notice I don't say Austin because, like, if you're from Texas, well, or if you like being from Texas, we like to avoid saying the word Austin because Austin embraces the weird. You know, Austin likes to be weird. And us Texans, we just like to be not weird. No, I'm making a little Texas funny joke there. We're transplants. I know you're a transplant too. So I thought that'd be kind of funny. But anyway, but we got to meet at the Healing Humanity meetup, met tons of awesome people. You were one of the awesome people we met. Mm-hmm. And so I know you had us on your channel, but I thought maybe we could have you on the podcast and we could kind of have like a carnivore conversation as far as like, you know, maybe give us your story as far as like health wise, where you were, what was going on, how and why you implemented carnivore and what kind of success you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a long story. And I always kind of preface it that way because it's, you know, there's so many things that have happened throughout and different issues that I've dealt with. So sometimes I forget to mention everything. But really the whole thing, my health journey really started back in my teens, like mid to late teens, when I started having symptoms of what I would later realize was irritable bowel syndrome, IBS type stuff. And I, you know, didn't really know what it was at the time, but just noticed that I, you know, started to have a lot of pain and, you know, would be like stuck in the bathroom after meals for long periods of time. And then it would take me out of class and things like that. And so that was really when the whole thing began. But I didn't start really looking into a solution or like what I could do until I was in my early 20s. And I, for whatever reason, just always had the idea that, you know, diet was going to play a role and that if I could just figure out the right diet, the right things to eat, then I could, you know, I could fix this or work with this problem. Because, I mean, obviously it was related to food. Like every time I would eat, something would happen. And so I just associated it, I guess, with diet in general. So I started doing some research and, you know, everything was pointing me in the plant-based direction. So it was like more fiber, drink more water. I started getting into like Andreas Moritz books. I read his giant Secrets of Health and Rejuvenation or something like that. And that, you know, was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is the answer. And so I totally got sucked into that plant-based approach to gut health and the microbiome and probiotics and, you know, home ferments and all that kind of stuff in the beginning. And I definitely struggled to maintain that because I felt like, you know, the stricter I got with that, even going down to raw vegan a couple of times, like everything just kept getting worse. And like the brain fog and the, you know, anxiety was crazy and anxiety was starting to become an issue during this time as well. And I knew I had social anxiety, even though I didn't really know that that was the term again for it, but just, having like being very, very nervous around in groups of people or going to crowded places. Like I tried to do everything to avoid that. But I was also working as a server and bartender in the restaurant industry. I started when I was 18, 19 years old. And so obviously it's a very like extroverted position. And so I'm constantly, you know, around people, it's creating all this anxiety. And, there was, you know, just part of that culture, restaurant culture, is definitely drinking and staying up all night when everybody else is asleep. You work while everybody else is out. So it's like that whole environment just kind of opened the door for me to develop some coping mechanisms for the pain that I was, you know, dealing with physically. And then also this this sort of crushing anxiety that was becoming overwhelming. So I started drinking a lot in my early, you know, early to mid 20s. And that pretty much continued until I hit 30, 31, I think is when, 32. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, basically I kept trying to do this plant-based thing. And, you know, all the information kept pointing to that. And I'm like, this is just not working. Like I would, you know, everything was getting worse. And so one day I was just reading on the internet and I stumbled across this blog called Paleo Leap. And that was when, you know, the light switch went off and I thought, oh, what's this whole ancestral eating paradigm thing that had never crossed my path before? And so, that was the day I cut out grains. So I was like, okay, let me just, you know, switch over from trying to be vegetarian and, you know, we're going to keep the meat and the starches and stuff like that, but cut out all the grains. And that was the first time I noticed really anything that was like, oh, within a week's time, like I feel different. I actually feel better. And so from there, it was really just this process over that was probably when I was like 25 or 26, I think, when I found paleo. And then it was just like slowly cutting things out over the next 5-6 years. As I learned more about, you know, gut disorders, and I figured out what FODMAPs were, and I figured out what nightshades were, and like, oh, people have issues with these types of plants, right? So let me just eliminate that group and then this group. And then I just was kind of down to like giant salads. I was doing the organic mixed greens every single day, you know, the best quality, and like olives and bell peppers and cucumbers, I think, and then meat. And I was making my own salad dressings from organic oils and pure vinegar, you know, so no seed oils or anything like that. And then there was a point where I just got real busy and I just accidentally ate only meat for like a few days in a row, and I didn't make my usual salads. And I didn't notice it immediately, but you know, it was because I had been doing colon hydrotherapy treatments in clinic for a number of years. And then I switched to home enemas, which I know is gross and TMI and everything, but like that was how I was limping along and functioning. And so by this point, when I kind of accidentally only ate meat, I was like, wait a minute, I don't feel like I need to do one of those today. You know, like my gut was calm and it wasn't all just, you know, full of pain and gas and all this kind of stuff. And so I was like, that's, what did I do differently? You know, it was like, oh, I just ate meat. And that was it. So then I kind of went back to the internet, and that was right when Sean Baker had gone recently on Joe Rogan's podcast and talked about the carnivore diet. And I saw Michaela Peterson's story. So like things started coming up and I was like, oh, this is called carnivore. And like people are doing this and it's actually like for inflammation and things like that. It's really helping people. So maybe I'm onto something. And so I was on it for almost a year. My gut symptoms went into complete remission. Anxiety, lessened greatly, but I was still drinking a lot of alcohol, like just liquor. I'd cut out wine and beer and all that kind of stuff a long time ago, but, until I got pregnant, then I had to quit drinking. When I quit drinking and was sick from, you know, that during that first trimester, it's like the food sort of started to come back in. And it was like, oh, mashed potatoes, you know, that's the only thing I can kind of stomach and get down. And so it went from adding in some mashed potatoes to adding in some other things. And then pretty soon it was like, okay, this is, you know, I'm sort of back to that quote unquote balanced diet or whatever we call it. So and then after I gave birth, it was like, it was just a struggle to get back. Cause I always knew like, this is the way I feel best. That was 2020, March of 2020 when our baby was born. So that was right when like everything, you know, was starting to fall apart. Like I had a home birth, thank God, because there were people that were not even being allowed to, like, if I would have gone to the hospital, I guarantee you I would have been alone. Like my partner wouldn't have been there. My parents, you know, came down for the birth, like nobody would have been let in. So like, you know, thank God everything worked out the way it did. But like all this stress, I guess, came in back into my life. And so I started, you know, drinking again, you know, and using over time, like using that again as a strategy. And so, you know, I kind of hit, we lived off grid in a bus, a self-converted school bus during COVID. And like, I was separated from Ben, and like, it was just this crazy, crazy few years. And so, when we finally got here to Dallas, it's kind of like my health just crashed again, like after going through all that stress and just not prioritizing my health, you know, just kind of like survival mode. You know, we got sick with something. I don't know for sure what it was, but that was like the last straw. And my body just kind of broke, and it was like severe fatigue. Just like that bone, just like your bones are so tired, like you can't. So, and, you know, just my mood was all over the place. I felt like a pin would drop in here and I'd just be ready to explode. Like just not in a good place. And so I was like, okay, I know, like, I've got to do both this time. I've got to go back to this diet and I've got to cut out the alcohol, you know, completely. And then that's my only chance of, like, you know, going back to who I am. Cause I just was not myself. And so, yeah, it's been now, I guess that was July of 2023. So it's been, 18, 19, 20 months, somewhere around there. And, you know, I have a YouTube channel. I've had my ups and downs. I still do, you know, to this day with certain gut things. And I think it's a long-term game with the microbiome and, you know, getting rid of some of these resilient bacteria, whatever's still probably been in there since I was a kid, you know, and like has just been creating those sugar addictions and the alcohol addiction and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess that's the medium length version of the story. So here I am.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I find it fascinating, for one, you know, carnivore is breaking the food pyramid paradigm, and it's destroying and disintegrating, I guess what one might call conventional wisdom. Most people's stories are very similar. All of us that have gotten concerned about our health and wanted to feel better, you know, we've read the China study and Daniel Graham's book, 80-10-10, and you know, all of these plant-based books, Gerson Therapy, and many, many, many of us have kind of went down this plant-based rabbit hole and like, this is the answer. Mm-hmm. And then as we go that direction and we're becoming incredibly strict with what we eat and how we eat, you know, things just get worse and worse. But what I find very interesting that with this carnivore trend, there is another trend where people will talk about alcohol and eliminating alcohol. I have a very good friend at work, and his doctor convinced him that a glass of wine a day was healthy for him. And he started drinking. He had never drank, and he started drinking wine, and he gained a ton of weight, and he drank so much that he got fatty liver disease. And it's so incredible to me that this was just because of some doctor's recommendation. But we're seeing more and more people in this space, in the carnivore space, and they're just saying, hey, lay off the alcohol, get off the alcohol. When we understand it on a systems level with glucose and blood glucose, I mean, it totally makes sense, but it also speaks to like this larger concept of like, bioflavonoids and, you know, wine is actually healthy and all this stuff. But what we're finding is that it's incredibly, one, it's incredibly addictive. Two, it's like injecting sugar into your veins, you know, and there are repercussions to that and negative consequences. And so, you know, I really think that that's very interesting. And then the way I understand that you explain it is basically by going carnivore, it literally like broke the addiction, you know. How do you see that kind of taking place?
Yeah, I think, it it's exactly like you said. I mean, I didn't expect a whole lot. I expected, because I, you know, I quit drinking, like I said, during pregnancy, because, it, you know, not because I necessarily wanted to, but it's like, okay, well, I have to do this. And there's been like two other times before that, that I have attempted to, you know, eliminate it completely. I think one time I made it like 30 days and the other time was like 3 months or something like that. You know, without having the diet component dialed in. And so, so I didn't expect to not have cravings. I expected that I was going to be abstaining, but like fighting it all the time, you know, waking up every day being like, oh, I wish I could drink. Or every time I get stressed, like, oh, I wish I could have a drink. You know, that was my mentality going in. It was like, this is just going to be a battle that I'm going to have to wake up every day and choose to fight, you know? But that was, it was maybe like that for the first 2 weeks, maybe 30 days, but, you know, and I had kind of weaned down. I mean, just to be fair, like I was maybe having like 3 to 4 drinks a night and not, you know, I wasn't going out anymore. I was not doing shots and being like insane, like I used to, you know, in my 20s and stuff like that. So it was like a much more quote unquote normal version of drinking that you might, you know, people wouldn't consider an issue maybe, but it was just the fact that it was still controlling me and I knew I was using it to cope, you know, with stress and everything. And it was not healthy for my body. So, but it really only took about 30 days before I just didn't have the cravings anymore. Like I just didn't, like I had made sure that there was no alcohol left in the house. Like, you know, so there wasn't going to be that temptation, but, you know, you can here, you can get vodka delivered to your doorstep if you want, you know, with your phone. So it's like, it's not that hard to just press a button and somebody will bring you some. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I was kind of worried about that. I'm like, am I ever going to be able to, but it just went away. Like it, I just stopped thinking about it. And all of a sudden it was like 6 months later. And I was like, oh, I haven't drank for 6 months. Cause I had promised myself, I was like, oh, let me go till New Year's. That was kind of my mindset too. It was like, short term, you know, I could wrap my mind around the next 4 or 5 months or whatever. And then when it got to that point, I was like, I don't have a desire to even do this. And that was not what I expected at all.
That's so neat. There's a carnivore content creator. He's in Ireland.
You know, Macker.
He's like our age, and the last thing that he gave up was alcohol, and it was similar. Like he didn't have necessarily like, I mean, society wouldn't have considered like him an alcoholic or like he was, you know, very functional, like normal life and everything, but it just bothered him that like it still had a grip on him and it was like his last vice that he hadn't given up. And so he finally, I'm trying to think, he's got the best accent ever. And I think Carrie Mann has had him on his channel.
The guy with the beard. Yeah, I think his name's Mac, right?
Dave Mac, probably. Well, he lives in Japan now.
Oh, okay.
Dave Mac.
Oh,
I'm not sure. But
I don't know. But anyway, he had a very similar story, though, to that. And it was just like that last thing that he gave up. And it was so easy for him. And, you know, he was in Ireland and he was just like, there's like a pub everywhere. You know, people just every day for lunch go and drink. Like it's very like cultural there. And it was just something that he had never, like he had dealt with it his whole entire life.
I just find it fascinating that, you know, the diet like kills the cravings from the sugar in the food, which helps you like control your intake. And then it will literally kind of bleed out, you know, and obviously it helps you with your mental state because your brain is getting the fats and everything that it needs to thrive. And it's so incredible how when you give your body everything it needs, like it will literally like in a real way kind of reject these other things that are harming you. And it'll even help you like just be like, oh, yeah, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's like me at the dessert table every Sunday. I'm just like, yeah. I mean, it's pretty. I can appreciate it. I think it was like on one of Kelly Hogan's videos, somebody was saying, like, I appreciate looking at desserts. Like, they're beautiful. And I have the information of like, oh, yeah, I'm sure it would taste good. Of course, it's like processed sugar, you know, refined sugar. Of course, it would taste amazing. But I don't have any desire for it anymore. It's just like, it's like art. Like, I can look at it and it's just like, okay, well, yeah, it's a beautiful pie. I don't need to taste it. Like, I'm good. You know, it has no power over me anymore, which is so crazy because the sugar was like such a thing for me my whole entire life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the difference, is it doesn't have power over me now. And I've tested it and I've told people on my channel this, like, there's a couple times that I'm like, because that's how I do, you know, I'm like, what am I going to react to this? Am I going to, you know, I've tried to add foods back in and stuff, but there've been a couple times where like I've had a glass of wine and it's like I can enjoy it, but I don't want anymore. And the next day I'm like, I don't even remember that it happened. Like, I don't think about it. It doesn't wake up food noise or sugar cravings, or I don't go buy any more alcohol. It's like, you know, because my fiance is a chef. And so, you know, part of, we go out, you know, here and there to places, and there's usually like a nice wine list or something. So like, I don't know, twice in the last probably 18 months or however long it's been, you know, I've like had a glass of wine at a restaurant and it's like not a big deal, you know? And like there again, I thought, I'm going to try this and it's probably going to trigger me, you know?
Right.
But it's just, it just doesn't. And like, I'm like, is that what moderators feel like? Like, I've never had that experience where, especially going into a social situation where normally that, like, I used to take a rum and Coke to Walmart in my car, you know, 15 years ago. Because that's how like anxious I would get, just so worked up about going to Walmart by myself, like, and it was very, very crowded and stuff. But like, that's how bad my anxiety was, you know. And now I can go to the store and not, you know, think about drinking. And like, so that's but then, you know, there's been those couple times where I'm like, yeah, I could enjoy one glass of wine or share one with my partner at dinner, and then it's like, now I can go 2 years, you know, or whatever, when not think about it. Like, that's freeing to me to make that choice for myself versus being like, this thing compulsively controls me.
Right. Absolutely. And you wonder just how much like the psychological part of it, just your brain health, has to do with the addiction. Like for me with sugar, or for you with alcohol, it was like, it was kind of your crutch. It was your thing. And where my brain was not like getting enough fat and protein. And it, I mean, because we were highly plant-based too, most of our marriage. And so, and I was more plant-based longer always than my husband was, even, because it was just what I liked. I just naturally, I liked fruits and vegetables, and, you know, I would eat them all the time, you know, where he was like, okay, I'm eating the salad, you know, like, but I actually enjoyed the salad, you know? So I don't know. It's just, but now, obviously my brain is the same, like with anxiety, social anxiety, going into stores. Like, I didn't do that for years. I would send my kids in when they were 9, 7, and 6, we moved down here. And I'm like, okay, they're old enough. They can go into the feed store. They can buy stuff. They can go wherever, not into Walmart, but into like the little local grocery stores. I would just have them go in. And I'm like, you know, it's life skills, which it was, and it was good for them to learn. But the truth of it was that I just didn't want to go in. Like, I super didn't want to go in. And we live in such a small little town. I mean, there's hardly anybody around, you know, it's not like we're in a big place where it would be like maybe a more normal to have anxiety over, you know, going somewhere where it's like overcrowded or whatever, people are going to be rude to you or whatever. It's not like that. It was just like super little podunk nowhereville. And I didn't want to get out of the car, you know? So, but it all had to do with my brain health, you know? And I mean, all of that, the hormones and everything, just totally healed and switched over. And that was stuff that I had dealt with, I mean, our whole married life. So yeah, Yeah, the plant-based thing is really a thing. I think a lot of us have that in common. I know Carnivore Today, Adam talks about that all the time, about how he did plant-based and, you know, in seeking health, like in trying to get healthy. And that's what we were trying to do. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We shared much of that before.
Yeah, not to interrupt, but do you drink coffee, Nia?
Maybe. I cut it out. Okay. I mean, I have a whole coffee thing too, because that, you know, you talk about, and this happens too, where let's say you quit drinking in my case, but then you replace it with something, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. you see that's sort of a stereotype, like all the AA people are now at the coffee shop just chugging caffeine and you know, like just high on caffeine now. So like, I was also aware of that, that I, you know, needed to find something healthy to replace this gap in my, coping strategy for life, let's say. And coffee had been like, I had basically throughout from the time our baby was born throughout COVID doing the bus, all this kind of stuff. Like I was basically living, like regulating my whole nervous system with alcohol and caffeine and sugar. So it would be like drink boatloads, get up in the morning. You know, I was hauling water, chopping wood, you know, diesel heater, generate, like just doing all this stuff basically by myself, not 100%, but we were lucky to find actually a family member who had some land out in Arizona where, we actually got to put our bus during this time, but we were still separated. And so it was like, you know, a lot of, anyway, so I would, you know, get up and just drink tons of coffee and just like, go, go, go do all this stuff. And then I'd be super stressed at night. So, you know, put the baby to bed and then I would just drink, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever it took to kind of knock me out and then basically repeat the next day. And so, because of the way that my, like, because I had found carnivore and I knew like, I can't tolerate fiber. I can't, you know, do vegetables in any quantity, like, but I can tolerate like processed foods. They don't really immediately upset my system because they're void of fiber and basically any nutrition, right? They just kind of, so right. That actually was an issue for me because I would, you know, turn to this caffeine, you know, excessive caffeine, and then this quick energy source, you know, during those stressful years. And that I think just totally messed up my gut, obviously even worse. And that's what I think I'm still dealing with at this point. But on the coffee side of things, like that was part of the whole like nervous system crash that I had, you know, when we got here, I think I was drinking like close to 2 pots of coffee a day, definitely a pot and a half, you know, of like regular strength, whatever. So, and that wasn't even putting a dent in my fatigue. And that's when I realized like there's something wrong. Like more coffee is not more better. And I can't even like get up off the couch after drinking a pot of coffee. Like then there's something wrong here. So I slowly started mixing decaf in over like 3 months. I think it was like October, November, December of that first year. And then when I got to January, I tried the Lion diet for the first time for 30 days and I cut out coffee completely. Then I added decaf back in for like 5 months or so. And then I cut it out again completely for like over 100 days. So it was like most of the summer, last summer. And then when it started getting cold again, I started like, oh, I want something again. And so, but I was still dealing with this fatigue in and out. And so I would like add a little bit of caffeine. And so it's, you know, it's slowly kind of crept its way back in. But now I feel like here again, like I went from one extreme to the other. And now I kind of know exactly where I sit with caffeine. It's like these are the symptoms I get when I have too much. And then I back off. I may not have any at all for a few days. And I can do that because I'm not afraid to say, oh, I can cut it out, you know, because I did it for a long period. So I guess I use it strategically. And I, you know, it's addicting and I'll admit it, you know, I like the caffeine high in the morning. And so,
well, you know, here we are. You know, every guest on the Fearless podcast gets a gift And so we would like to send you a bag of our coffee as a strategic reserve to, you know, break in case of emergency, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have whole bean and ground, and we have light, medium, dark. And then we also have a what's called a white roast, which is a first crack roast. But I'll get with you after the episode, and you can let us know what – it's all organic and all that kind of good stuff. So we always like to
– And I understand the coffee struggle, because we joke that we're like coffee carnivores, you know, because there's like the no coffee carnivores, and then there's the people that still drink coffee. And we've done all of it. Like, we've quit coffee. We've added back in decaf. Now I've been trying to do like this mushroom powder stuff because I have thyroid issues. So I want to continue to heal my thyroid goiters that I have on both sides of my thyroid. So I was looking up these mushroom blends, and I've been using a mushroom blend powder for, I don't know, 6 years now. But I usually just put it into my coffee. So then I was just doing the mushroom blend. And then, and with me, it's dairy too. So I have this like relationship with dairy that it just doesn't work. Me and dairy just, I wish it would work, but it doesn't. And it just will give me like inflammation, and my gut will swell up, and just cystic acne all over. And so I'll try to dabble in it and like, well, just a splash. And then that turns into like, I am not a moderator. So it'll turn into like me sipping on half and half all day long, you know, and it's just, it's not a good thing. So now I'm back to butter again. So yeah, but it's that cyclical, you know, not that I won't ever put a splash of half and half in my coffee or mushroom tea or whatever I'm doing again. So today I had my coffee, which my children are older, they get up and they make a big pot of regular coffee. So it's there. So it's really easy. And it's hard to like, okay, I'll make my decaf. Like, I've done it, you know, in different seasons, but it's just like, it's right there. It's already done. Mm-hmm. I'll just pour the regular coffee. And then, you know, as I refill the cup during the day, I just do the mushroom tea in it. So it's like barely got any coffee left in it. But, you know, I try to do that with my iodine. And, but yeah, it's funny that you mentioned also the enemas, because that was another thing that we did, way TMI for most people, I understand. So if we're scaring you right now, you can turn this off. But if you're interested in what crazy people do to pursue health, yeah, we had watched a documentary like 20 some years ago now, I don't know, 25 years ago probably. And it was on Gerson therapy. And of course, plant-based, that got us on the road on plant-based and all that kind of stuff. And so we were like, yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy, but we're kind of extreme crazy people too. Like, we do the weird extreme things. We're like, really? Yeah. Like, we should try that, you know, like, we're not afraid. So, so we did the coffee enemas. I mean, it's been 25 years or whatever it's been. 20, it's been a long, long time. And when we started carnivore about 2 years ago now, it was the first time. Well, I didn't do them while I was pregnant, but he did them still. And it was for inflammation, for arthritis, mental health. I mean, there's just so many gut health, just so many different benefits that we saw from it. And also, you know, just trying to be preventative, you know, and like detoxing and that kind of stuff. So, so anyway, I didn't do them while I was pregnant, but when we started carnivore, I'm like, I guess I really don't need this anymore. Like, it's just, why? You know, I don't really feel like, you know, I need it. But then different times during, over the last couple of years, I have felt like I've had to go back to it for certain times and for all different reasons. You know, just one issue that I had was with the dairy, which I didn't know because we had been dairy free for like 7 years. And then we tried adding back in the dairy. And for some of us, we can handle it better than others in the family. Some people, it's just like instant like ear infections and, you know, swollen glands in their necks, and they just get all kinds of weird stuff going on with the dairy. And I have other stuff going on with it. So yeah, we kind of went back to it. And then just here recently, I guess you've always kind of kept with the coffee.
Not since going carnivore.
No. But once in a while. Like, you do use it, like, once in a while, I think, right?
Not since.
Really?
No, not since going carnivore.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're old. I guess we don't pay attention to each other. I thought he was still using it once in a while. But in the past like month or so, I just felt like my mental health was struggling more. Like, I just felt more down. I just didn't feel like good, in a good place anymore mentally. And my food hadn't really changed at all. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to the coffee breaks and start doing that again. And in the last couple of days, I'm like, instantly, just like all the bloat in my stomach went away. Just outside walking, doing stuff, my mental clarity was like, it was just almost instantaneous. Like, everything was just all back in line. And, you know, also, when you feel better, you do better, is what we always say, you know. And like, so now I've been doing a fast for the last couple of days, and it's just, I don't know. Like, I know it's not for everybody. I know there's certain carnivore people out there that are totally against it because it's coffee or whatever, but it's just like, there's a lot, you know. Another thing we're playing around with is that L-Reuteri yogurt and that probiotic. And you've seen a big difference in your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the neatest thing about the community is like, once you realize, one, that everything that you've been taught or told is, relatively speaking, is a lie. Mm-hmm. And then, like, wait a minute, I can improve my health by making very simple changes. And then you do it and you feel better. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, First off, I thought I was just getting old. And I thought I was doing really great, but I just felt terrible because I was old. And then, like, well, no, I was just eating food that was not making me well and making me feel sick. So now I eat food and I feel better. What else can I do? You know, and so you continue to experiment, you know, and you're like, okay, so, well, for one, let's see what the coffee's doing. Let's take the coffee all the way out.
Right.
Okay. Still feel good. Feel fine. Want to add the coffee back in. Okay. Like for me, I can't eat eggs and I love eggs. And I used to eat almost 2 dozen eggs a day. But for whatever reason, even just the yolks, they give me inflammation, so I can't eat the eggs. So these are the kind of things that we mess with and experiment with, you know. And so I cut out the coffee for like 3 or 4 months and had no problem cutting out the coffee. But I'm like, hey, because that's the other thing that I think the puritanical people sometimes get lost in is like, we want this to be sustainable, right? And we want to, want to add back in creature comforts, for lack of a better term. Like, if I can add this back in and it's not going to negatively impact my health and it's not going to set me back, then obviously I will add it back in. It's a cup of coffee. I'm not talking about drinking a pot of coffee or whatever. So if you can add that back in and it's not going to kill you and like, oh, this is just another thing that I get to enjoy. You know, I'm not eating Little Debbie anymore and I'm not like wiping out the dessert table at church on Sunday. You know what I mean? So if that means I drink a couple 8 to 16 ounces cups of coffee, you know, that to me makes sense because it's just more sustainable. It's something that you can enjoy. You can reintroduce it. And, you know, that's what's really neat in the carnivore community is because people are constantly experimenting.
Right. Yeah. And I watched a thing today because I was back onto this coffee enema thing again. And, you know, I watched Dr. Barry's take on it and he was not a fan. And I'm like, okay, well, that's okay. You know, but, you know, I was watching another natural path doctor and she was saying that with the, what is it called?
Gut biome?
Like gut biome, but the, what is it called?
Parasites.
Parasites, yeah. I keep thinking pestilence. I told him before we started recording, I'm like, it's the
same thing.
Yeah, it is the same thing.
And, but she said that with the green coffee, there's now research out that with the green coffee, which is higher, the lighter roast, and it's higher in caffeine, there's actually documented research out right now. And I'll have to find that video and link it maybe. It was really, really good. That a lot of times when she's prescribing these coffee enemas, and she does a lot of different things, not just that, but she was saying that and they're home-based. She's not making money on it or anything. But she just said that people are finding better benefits with parasite removal with a green coffee or, you know, a high caffeine coffee with a light roast. And she was saying different experiences that different people had. And she was going into also like the mental health aspect of it. And I mean, people that had severe like bipolar and different things that had just experienced. And I'm like, everything is so tied together. And I mean, we're living in such a fallen, broken system and we're so bombarded with toxins. I mean, from before the time we're even born, that like, I get that it's not maybe a natural process that humans have done forever is like, you know, worry about these parasites or whatever in all these different ways and, you know, mix up L-reuteri yogurt and whatever, just do all these different weird things. I mean, she was even talking about ivermectin and using that, which we do that too. And I get that's not natural maybe, but we're not living in a totally natural society anymore either. So, yeah. And I know you've dealt with that. You were saying you're still dealing with some stomach issues and different things like that. I know I had listened to one of your videos that you put out just a little bit ago, and you were talking about just different things that you had tried, and we're still kind of experimenting and trying to figure out different, you know, solutions.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny we're on the enema topic because I actually dug out my kit. You know, I saved that sucker and, you know, cleaned it out the other day. And I was like, I think I've been thinking about doing some again. Cause like you said, I can't do dairy either. And I keep thinking, oh, just a little sour cream will be fine. But then it spirals, you know, and then I'm like, it's weeks to a month of just like, I'm not, my gut's not the same. My skin flares up and, It takes a long time, depending on how much it was and what type it, you know, of dairy it was, to recover from that. And so, like, I used to do coffee ones and then just plain saltwater ones. And I would kind of alternate those. And because I, like, sometimes the coffee ones were too intense. Like, I would get, I don't know how TMI we want to get, but, like, just, like, it would cause spasming and stuff, and that was kind of painful, and that would last afterwards. And so I found like I couldn't do those because I was doing them every day basically, and you know, so I couldn't do that every single day. But anyway, I've been thinking about trying them again because I think, you know, I compare a lot of like what's going on this second round, I call it, with my first experience, because the first time I got to carnivore, it was like, it was that 30 day miracle kind of situation where I just felt so good. And it was like, holy crap, like, how did I know about this, you know? And then this time, it's just been much slower and much more gradual. And like, I still deal with cravings. And like, for food, you know, it's like, we talked about alcohol, and like, that disappeared. And that was not what I was expecting. But I expected the sugar food cravings to go away like that. And they come and go. And it's weird. And so I've talked to a couple people about that. you know, the whole microbiome thing. And I've tried the L-Reuteri yogurt and I reacted bad to that and or badly to that. And so I tried it twice. I made it at home and somebody had recommended this certain like goat kefir that I could, you know, get at the store. I tried that. I reacted to that. I've tried raw milk and raw cream from local places and I reacted real bad to that. And so I've just kind of settled on no dairy in any form really. But you know, there's been five or six times when I've, you know, over the past year and a half that I've tried that. And it just has taken me so long to recover from each of those episodes. And so that's kind of where I think a lot of the ups and downs have been. And then, just with fat too, I feel like I can't eat a lot of fat or I get symptoms. And so I've tried, you know, cutting out the rendered fat. I try to eat more raw fat, but I also feel like I have some histamine type, like GI histamine symptoms that, and I've talked to several people like at the Cedar Park meetup that, you know, kind of had the same thing. And so I thought, well, maybe this is a histamine thing and it's not really a microbiome thing, but necessarily. So yeah, I'm still trying to figure out, but I guess the main thing that's different between the first time and this time was the amount of time that I had slowly cut out things. So like from paleo at 25 to carnivore at like 31, I think that time period was just slow. Like my microbiome had that many years to slowly adjust to the elimination process. Whereas this time it was like vodka, processed food, tons of caffeine, and then a lot of meat, you know, and then it was like cold turkey on everything but the meat. And so I think I just like my gut's like fighting, you know, those microbes are fighting for their lives, you know, and for whatever reason, the alcohol ones went away, which I'm thankful for, but some of the other ones aren't, you know, haven't yet. And I think that's from what I've gathered, that's probably what my situation is. So maybe the enemas would help, you know, I guess is what I'm getting at, to bring those back in for me.
Yeah, this one video that I watched today, it's amazing because it's like as time goes on, you know, there's just more information that comes out about different things. And there was definitely some more information on that. And I'll share with you the link to it. But that's what this doctor was saying. She was saying that even with different parasites, people can test negative to having parasites. And yet, they still have them. Like they can move around. They can like, I don't know. She was saying all different things. Like they're very like stealth, like they can, you know,
very parasitic,
like, hide and then come back out. And yeah, but she was saying people were making out really good with the white coffee. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. Cause we just added white coffee to our coffee line and we've never used that before.
Yeah, sure.
For, you know, coffee breaks, we call them. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, if I could help somebody, we've been open about that, like on our channel, just at different times. I mean, we've maybe mentioned it maybe three times in, I don't know, 8 years or whatever. But just, I mean, if it'll help somebody, it's just a really big deal, you know. And I think there's just the mental part of it really plays a lot. Like I would say, even with the food and the cravings, like it might not even be a physical thing. It might just be like, you know, for us, you know, our oldest son got married this past November. And just like the stress, even good stress is still stress, you know, even a really great situation and all that, it's still stressful. It's a lot of change and transition. And so I'm just like, I don't care. It's still carnivore. I'm having a taco with cheese on it. Like I'm putting the sour cream on it. You know what? It's been a hard day. You know, I'm looking at baby pictures and like, oh, like what happened, you know? So like I'm eating the taco. You know what? I'm eating three more tacos. You know, it's still carnivore, but it's not clean for, especially for me and what I can handle. So I know, you know.
Well, yeah. And then there's the other part of carnivore, like Nia was mentioning, that I didn't go on and off of carnivore, but I went carnivore and I battled insomnia in high school and have never really slept well since high school. And always had problems sleeping. Then I developed this shoulder and back issue, which for several years eliminated my sleep. Like I very quite literally didn't sleep more than an hour at a time for like maybe 5 to 6 years. And then I go carnivore and I'm sleeping like a rock, you know, and this was like 30 days in and I hit this like perfect sleep window for like almost a month. It was just like incredible. The one thing that didn't stop happening is I did not stop snoring. So I can't sleep on my back or I snore and I wake myself up. But
and he's got the nose strips and the mouth tape.
Yeah, I do the mouth tape and the nose strips.
He's got the grounding sheet.
I'm a biohacker. I have blue blockers. I have red blockers. I mean, whatever it takes. You know what I mean? I'm a biohacker.
He's got the ivermectin. Now he's drinking the blue fabric dye. Methane blue. He's like, I'm telling you.
Yep. Yeah. We have some of that.
Yeah, I'm a biohacker.
We're
always experimenting. We're trying stuff. Yeah. And I've hit this sleep realm again where like I have to, for some reason, whatever was working is not, you know, and I regulate the fat and try to uptick the fat towards bedtime. Mm-hmm. I do all the hack on the food side, but you know, you're constantly just experimenting and you know, You definitely need to sleep. I mean, that's an important aspect of life. You need to sleep.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I am like sleep has been a game changer because I'm so protective, and I've like changed things that I didn't even necessarily want to change, like stopping live streaming in the evenings and you know doing that kind of stuff like to protect my sleep because that's I noticed for me that because I was always so tired that I'd have no issue like falling asleep, but I would wake, you know, I'd wake up 5-6 times a night and just was not getting quality sleep. And then I was just so tired throughout the day. I'd even take a nap and still be exhausted. And then the coffee and all, you know, so like, I think cutting it, you know, getting the caffeine situation under control was huge for me too. Cause I think that was actually disrupting my sleep, even though it wasn't like making me feel awake during the day. Like, I think it was just messing with the whole, like that excessive amount was messing with the whole thing. But I guess, where was I going with that? Just how, I think when I don't get enough sleep, that's like the number one thing that can throw me off my game. Like make me make a bad food decision, or I get grump, my mood changes, or like if I don't get like 9 hours most nights of the week and it's quality sleep, like I'm not set up to win for that day, you know? And so that's something I've really learned to, cause I went through an insomnia, thing on carnivore last year, right about this time last year. It was like March and April. And it was just like, all of a sudden I started waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, every single night, wide awake, like, but still tired. You know what I mean? Like I didn't feel rested and I'd get up and I'd get on the computer and work and be like, okay, I'm going to be productive today. But then by noon I'm like dead, you know, and just, just crawling through the rest of the day to like get to bed. And then it would happen again. I'm like, what is going on? You know? And I ended up fixing that with going super high fat and dropping my protein like below what I should be eating, you know, like an almost 90-10 split. And then within like 3 days, my sleep came back on, and now I don't eat super high fat, and I have not had an issue since then. But since that time, I've been like very aware of things that throw off my sleep and how not getting enough sleep just like it changes my mood and everything. So I'm the same. I'm like blue blockers on, get off the devices at sunset if at all possible. I have my watch set to like the sunset and all this kind of stuff to be like, we're calming down, the candles, all this kind of stuff, because I think sleep is crucial. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really important. You know, I mean, what we eat, how we rest, how we move. I mean, every day, like just going out and making sure that I'm walking, getting outside, getting sunshine, you know, all of that stuff. And, I, you know, I've heard people even say, I think it was on one of Kelly Hogan's video, her interviews, it was an older lady and she really struggled with sleep, and it was her B vitamins. Her body was not processing the B vitamins like it was supposed to. And so she was recommending, I think, people get that blood work done to make sure that your body is actually, I can't remember what the blood test is called. I should know what it's called. But anyway, it's to, you know, to use the B vitamins properly.
Sounds scientific.
I don't know. I don't know what it would be called, but
yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah, there is a blood test for that to test to make sure that your body's actually absorbing and taking in the B vitamins correctly. But anyway, and dairy, that was another thing that somebody else said, that when they just were trying it and they were like, let me just cut out the dairy and see. And that was the thing that was messing up their sleep. So it's like, it's so different for everybody, you know? So it's just trying.
I think that's the biggest point, is everybody's different. Everybody's body's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gut biome's different. Everybody absorbs all these environmental pollutants differently. We all react differently. Mm-hmm. We've all had different vaccine schedules at different, you know, unfortunately for us. I mean, I am vaccine injured, so and I don't pretend that I'm not. But what, this has been an awesome conversation. Nia, in closing, or is there anything else, babe, that you wanted to touch on?
No, I don't.
Or, in closing, do you have any closing thoughts or ideas that you just want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of how you, where you were going with that is the thing that I have on my heart most lately when it comes to the world of carnivore and experimenting, is that I want the community to stay that way. I don't want us to tilt into that hyper dogmatic, like, we're coming for everybody's carnivore card if you do something a little bit different, because, you know, everything has the potential, especially with the way social media is and stuff, to kind of tilt towards that. And so that's, with all the change we have going on and the potential for change society-wide, I think, like, we're all on the same team when it comes to, you know, promoting this way of eating, just trying to get, you know, people off the processed junk, right? Off of the excessive alcohol and the excessive caffeine, right? And these things that control us ultimately. If you want to live as a free person, you got to start with those things, in my opinion, you know, and making sure that these things don't have control over, you know, our behavior and our thought process and ultimately, you know, who we're becoming. And so I think a lot about that. And obviously I'm not perfect, and I have my days, right? Just like everybody, but I think a lot about that, about, like the next generation. And yeah, maybe my health is screwed up for a number of reasons and I have to be super strict and that may never change. Right. But what kind of world, can I help create for, you know, my daughter when she grows up? And maybe if we can stay together as a team, you know, the low carb to carnivore realm, proper human diet realm, so to speak, I think we can influence bigger change and more systemic change. I think we can wake people up and at least encourage them and inspire them to at least try and look into some of this stuff and experiment. Because ultimately, like we've been talking about, it's you've got to experiment. Not no one specific version of carnivore or keto or paleo or whatever is going to work for every single human being. And so I think people have been afraid to experiment because of the messaging about nutrition and animal products and saturated fat and cholesterol and all this kind of stuff. So the more of us are just putting out our stories anecdotally and the more research is starting to come out. I know that the big LDL paper, the lean mass hyperresponder paper just got published. And so like the more of that stuff comes out and challenges these narratives and our community grows and we don't nitpick each other to death over how perfect we are or aren't, right? Like, or what intervention somebody chooses to use. Like if we can just keep this thing rolling and keep the momentum going, I think we can really, really change, you know, the health outcomes of the people in our country and around the world. So I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful that you know, the next decade, 20 years can be better than, you know, in terms of health for the masses, let's say, than maybe the past 50 years were. So at least that's the way I like to think.
Yeah. And in closing, I would like to say, if you are in the Northeast Texas area and you're listening and you are looking for some homegrown beef, we do have a half a cow currently available. So check us out at thetexasboys.com and or shoot us an email, countrytexasboys@gmail.com. It is for local pickup. We don't ship yet. We might be doing that in the future. But Nia, thank you so much for coming on the Fearless Podcast. This has been great. And we'll see you all in the next show.
Thank you.